Well, good morning, Stone Creek. We're feeling good today. It's already been an amazing Sunday. Come on. Man, if we haven't got the chance to meet yet, my name is Sean, and I'm the student pastor here, and I'm just super excited for what God has already done in this place. Like Aaron said earlier, we've already gotten to witness now 14 baptisms today. Praise Jesus. Come on. What an amazing, amazing day. And I want to start out by saying, because Stephen let me have the mic, and you know, I don't know if a lot of you are going to even like care about this, but I need to say it because I'm excited. So, Boomer Sooner, okay? I'm just excited that Oklahoma beat Texas, horns down. If you're a Texas fan, I pray I offended you. Thank you. Man, I am so glad that you are here with us at church today. And man, I have loved diving into this 10-year vision that God has given us to run after together over the next 10 years called X Multiply. Can we just celebrate X Multiply? That God has given us something to run after, as amazing as this is. And if you're new with us, or man, you just want to be reminded of what we've talked about, what we're going to run after these next 10 years in X Multiply so far, let me give you a quick recap. A few weeks ago, Stephen started out what we're running after, these 10 initiatives, and the first one was prayer. Man, we want to become a house of prayer, and we believe that we're only going to go as far, this vision is only going to go as far as how we pray for it, and the power of prayer that we put behind it. And don't you want to be known as someone who is prayerful? Don't you want someone to be able to think of your name and go, dang, they're really awesome at prayer. I love how much they're in prayer. That's what we pray that will be said of all of us by the end of these 10 years. The next one that Stephen talked about was discipleship, and we want to create and unleash 10,000 disciple makers over the next 10 years. I mean, listen, if our church does that, how incredible would that be? How many people would we meet in the name of Jesus? I mean, it would be unreal, and we're going to do that by doing something called Equip X starting in January, asking the question, who's your three? What three people are you discipling every year for the next 10 years? We've already launched a version of this within our student ministry, and it's been awesome. And I want to report to you guys as the student pastor that over 200 students have already said yes to weekly discipling relationships led by other students. How amazing is that? Come on. And then last week, Stephen talked about gospel conversations. I mean, he talked about how good deeds help people, but good news saves people. Amen? And that's the gospel, and we believe in it. And he talked about how we want to, as a church, we want to have 344,869 gospel conversations over the next 10 years, which feels like a big number, but we believe in a big God. And we believe that our God calls us to do big things in the power of his name. Again, quick student commercial, because again, I got the mic, as we have a tent out on the patio for Awake Now, our student retreat that's happening this next Saturday. So if you're a student, you need to sign up. If you're a parent of a student, sign them up today. And if you're just someone who comes to our church, amazing. We would love for you to pray next Saturday, because our students are going to go out to all of downtown Crabapple and ask every single person who lives there to come and experience a night of worship on the Crabapple Green next Saturday night, where they're going to hear the gospel. And so we're believing God's going to move in power, and y'all are invited, so we'd love for you to come next Saturday at 5 o'clock, Crabapple Green, to experience what our students are doing. So excited about that, and we believe the gospel is worth telling people about, worth getting uncomfortable for. So prayer, discipleship, gospel conversations. And the reason we picked these three things is because we know and we take seriously the last words of Jesus, don't you? Right? The Great Commission, the last thing that he said after he arose from the grave, defeated death forever, and ascended back into heaven. If you're unfamiliar with it or you need to be reminded, let's look at it together. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. It says, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So leave us up for a second. Notice, go. Well, we're going to do that by having these gospel conversations. Make disciples. Now, we're doing that by asking the question, who's your three, and getting in discipling relationships. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's what we become when we're disciples who make other disciples. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. The reason we're able to come confidently to the throne of God in prayer is because Jesus has gifted us the Spirit of God to dwell within us when we put our faith in him. And so we've fulfilled most of this, haven't we, if we do these things over the next 10 years? But we're missing something. Baptism. Baptism says, follow me and then get baptized. Put your faith in me and then get baptized. So today we're gonna be talking about baptism. And could it be that there's some of you in the room today who have never stepped in to the step of faith that is baptism? And could it be that Jesus, as we just experienced a minute ago, wants to do something joyous in and through your story by proclaiming to the world, I've decided to follow Jesus, there is no turning back, and you're missing out on this moment of joy because you haven't stepped into the obedience of what Jesus has asked us to do within the Great Commission. See, what we see all throughout the Bible is that people follow Jesus and then they're baptized. The Great Commission, follow me, get baptized, learn what it looks like to follow me, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Look what it looks like to follow me. And then I know I'm with you. Follow me, get baptized. You don't have to clean yourself up first. You don't have to get all right, have all the answers. You learn that after. And know that I'm with you every step of the way. This is the Great Commission, Jesus' last words for us. And I believe that there's some of us in the room today that as I talk about baptism, you know this message is instantly for you. And you know that there's this moment, this step you haven't taken with Jesus, and you think about it if you're honest. I mean, you've thought about it before, and there's probably been some excuses that have popped up in the way. Here's what I'm asking today. I'm sure some of your excuses are valid, but what I'm asking you to do is open up your hands and say, Jesus, I'm gonna put the logistics aside for a second. I'm gonna put the excuses I've been making aside for a second. And Jesus, if this is what you want me to do, I'm in. Hey, I'm surrendering to your will today, putting my plans on hold for just a second. Would you speak to me? Just for these next 30 minutes, would you do that? Because then at the end of this service, we're gonna have a moment where we're gonna have a chance for people to get baptized and respond to the gospel today and say, hey, I'm done waiting. Today is the moment. I walked in thinking I was just coming to church, but actually today's gonna be one of the most important moments of my life. It's gonna happen today. So I'm gonna pray for you, then we're just gonna open-handedly walk through scripture and see what God says. Jesus, I'm so grateful for you, and I'm so grateful that you love us. God, I pray for every person in the room that we would remember that baptism points to the joy of our salvation. God, that we would remember the moment we got baptized, that the moment we came from death to life and we told the world that we decided to follow Jesus and there is no turning back. God, I pray for every person in this room who has followed Jesus but has not yet taken that step. God, would you speak to their hearts in these next few moments? God, would you help them find answers to all of the questions and the excuses that maybe they've had in the past? God, could today be a moment they'll never forget? And Jesus, I pray for those in the room who don't know you yet, Jesus. Today, the joy that comes in following you would become so tangible, so real, and so evident throughout these next few minutes. We love you. It's in your beautiful name we pray. Amen. And in the Bible, we see in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the life, the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And then that Matthew 28, that great commission that happens right at the end of it, right? And then the church is propelled into the book of Acts that we read. And the book of Acts is all about the early church. And the Holy Spirit falls, Jesus leaves, his Spirit falls on his believers. And the church in boldness begins to run after the world, turn religion on its head, show that Jesus desires relationship with each of us and allows the Spirit to move in power. And in the middle of this movement is a guy named Philip. Y'all say Philip. And Philip is listening to the Spirit, and he's going in boldness where God is telling him to walk. And he comes up, and in the story in Acts 8, he meets this guy on the edge of this road named, doesn't have a name in scripture, but he's an Ethiopian eunuch, okay? And if you're wondering, what does that mean? Me too. Cool, let me tell you. So a eunuch is somebody who was high up in a government official. So they did whatever it took to serve the queen at the time. In this case, the queen of Ethiopia. Ethiopia, and this eunuch was in charge of all the treasury, the money, right? Like, he had a lot of status. A lot of people were looking to him. He was leading a lot, and he had a reputation to uphold. And in this moment, Philip comes onto the road, and he meets with this eunuch. And look what happens. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." So he listens, obedient. He rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning, seated in his chariot. I mean, if you're in a chariot, you're important, right? Okay? He's seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. So what happens is there's this book in the Old Testament called Isaiah, and Isaiah is a prophet of God. So what he does is he tells of visions and things to come that God will one day fulfill, mostly through the person of Jesus. And so Philip knows who Isaiah is talking about, but this eunuch in this moment isn't a follower of Jesus. So he's reading the prophet of Isaiah, but wondering, what is he talking about? And he says, and the Spirit said to Philip, "Hey, go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him. And he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" The eunuch said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And now the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shear is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? Is it about him? Is it about Isaiah? Or is it about somebody else?" And then Philip opened his mouth, and he, beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. This moment where he has all of these questions. He longs to worship. He was just in Jerusalem for it. He's high up. He's got this reputation. And he's searching, but he hasn't yet found the answer. And Philip comes up to him and says, "Hey, the guy you're searching for, the one that all of this scripture points to, is a man named Jesus. And I know him. Would you like to?" And Philip leads this eunuch to the Lord, and this eunuch begins to follow Jesus in this moment, in the chariot, on the side of the road. And what happens next? Acts 8:36. "And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop in its tracks. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." See, this eunuch, man, he's high up. He's got a lot of people looking to him. He's got a reputation to uphold. He's in a chariot heading back to the queen. He's probably got a schedule to stick to. He's got plans that he's got that cannot be interrupted. But then he meets Jesus. And Jesus changes everything. And so Jesus says, "Hey, I know you got a reputation. Surrender it to me. Hey, I know you got plans. Let me interrupt them. I know you have a schedule that you want to uphold. Hey, let me break it down so that you can have a moment you will never forget. There's water. What's preventing me from being baptized?" I think there's some of us in the room that we've allowed our reputation to prevent it from us. Maybe we've been following Jesus for a while, so we're afraid what others would think if we got baptized, because we're supposed to be the leaders who are leading them. And so we're afraid, are they going to think I'm fake, a fraud? Maybe our reputation gets in the way. Maybe we've been leading people and we've been holding on to our comfort and holding on to the things that we've perceived about Jesus in the past. Maybe it's time to lay that down. And could it be that Jesus is saying, "Hey, listen, here is water. What is preventing me from being baptized? You know me. You love me. What's preventing me from being baptized?" In this moment, the chariot stops. His comfort and plans are thrown out the window. He didn't care what anyone thought or said. He could not wait any longer. He said, "I love Jesus. That is enough. I've found the answer I'm looking for." And Philip goes and baptizes him in the river. We're so passionate about baptism here at Stone Creek, and we believe that it's one of the things that God wants us to run after wholeheartedly for the next 10 years. See, baptism is going to be a part of this X Multiply initiative. And what our prayer for in the next 10 years that we would see is this. We pray that at the end of 10 years, we've celebrated 365 baptisms every year as Jesus adds to our number day by day, those who are being saved. Come on, can we celebrate that? How awesome would that be? Amazing. So why 365? Man, 365 days, because in Acts 2:47, we see that day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And so we believe if we have a prayer and disciple making and bold conversations, what that's gonna result in is lost people coming to find Jesus every single day. So there's 365 days in a year. And so in 10 years, what we want to see is across all of our campuses, 365 people baptized every year, symbolically saying that every day somebody is meeting Jesus. How amazing would that be? Man, we can clap. Come on, I know you want to celebrate. I like it. Come on. So how are we going to do that? By a few ways, man. I raise my hand in messages like these. At the end, we give a chance to respond to the gospel, and maybe that's how people are going to respond to come to know Jesus. Man, through our Now Gen, through kids and student ministry, through Camp Arrowhead, our massive kids camp that's awesome over the summer, through base camp and connect dinners and group life, and through baptism classes, we believe that God is going to bring the lost to come and find him. But also in moments like these today, we believe are vital to seeing this come to fruition. We would love to see 365 baptisms a year for the next 10 years. So I've said the word baptism a lot. Maybe you're like, I don't know what that is. Let me tell you about it, okay? Baptism, we believe, is an outward expression of an inward transformation. So when we start to follow Jesus, it's saying, hey, I want the world to know I've decided to follow Jesus and there is no turning back. Man, we believe that when we follow Jesus, we're not made better people. We don't do this to be better. We do this to be made new in the person of Jesus. And we believe that when we follow Jesus, he doesn't take what is broken and gross in us and make it a little bit more shiny. No, what does he do? He gets rid of it. He says, hey, I died for it. You can have new life, a fresh start, the Holy Spirit living within you. And this is the beginning of the story of your eternity. And we believe that that's the power of Jesus. And so when we get baptized, what happens is we're telling the world, hey, this is the greatest decision I've ever made. I want for you to know there's nothing worth following other than my Jesus. Jesus has changed me, and I want everyone to know that this is the one. This is the guy. Come find him. You're searching for other things. Jesus is the answer. And so we tell everybody through getting baptized. It's awesome. And I want, like you experienced, like you were a part of not long ago, we celebrate baptism here at Stone Creek, okay? Like we go crazy, we go nuts. Sometimes there's confetti cannons. It's awesome, all right? Like we celebrate. And why do we celebrate baptism? Because we believe Jesus is. We believe that right now, as each of the 14 people who've gotten baptized today have gotten baptized, heaven is rejoicing. There's a rejoicing in another son and daughter coming back home to the Father. They're rejoicing that we were bold enough to go public with our faith and say, hey, I follow Jesus. And it's the greatest thing ever. They're rejoicing at life change happening before our eyes. And my favorite thing about baptism is that it reminds me of the joy of my salvation. Man, I know that there's some of us in the room who have been baptized, but moments like these that happen, we get to watch that and remember the faithfulness of God to bring us from where we used to be to where we are now. We get to remember the goodness of our God to say, hey, I love you. I have grace for you. There's not an amount of times that you can sin that I won't forgive you because I died for it. We get to remember the transformative power of the gospel that helps us to not live in a complacent way that's comfortable running after the things of the world and saying, no, this transforms everything. And we're reminded of the power of what comes in Scripture. I mean, I love baptism because it reminds us of the joy of our salvation. So we celebrate because we're saying, hey, we get it. And it's amazing. And we love it. We love that we get to celebrate alongside of you. This morning, I would love to tell you a story about my dad. See, my dad and I are really close. This is me and him at my wedding, so he's a great-looking man. I hope that I look like him when I grow up, but he's awesome. And my dad and I are like best friends. I mean, we're huge Yankees, Giants, and Knicks fans. You can blame him for that, not me. And, you know, we love it, and we're really close. But about 10 years ago, I started to follow Jesus, the real Jesus. And it created this little bit of a gap in our relationship. We were really close on all these other things, but when it came to Jesus, my life was transformed, and he hadn't met the Jesus that I knew yet. And so over the course of the next 10 years of my life, it kind of created this little like, okay, what do I say? How much do I go into this? How deep do we talk about it? And he knew that this was my job, but he didn't necessarily know what was going on in my soul. And luckily, the Lord grabbed his heart. And so what I would love to do is tell you his story. I've asked his permission, and he's given me his permission because he knows what I know to be true, that many of you who are sitting out in these seats have a very similar story that he does. And his ask, his urgency, along with mine, is that you wouldn't wait as long as he did. So I would love to give you a little background on my dad. See, my dad, he was raised Catholic. So he was baptized as a baby, catechism, whole nine yards. My dad grew up in Peekskill, New York, and didn't come from a lot. So he wanted to work his way up, fulfill the American dream. And he did a really good job, was really successful in his job, got really high up in sales. But as he pursued that, he kind of left faith behind. And he would always say that he had some kind of faith in his heart, but that was kind of left behind. Then he moved from New York to Texas and met my mom, and my mom and him got married, and then they had me eventually, and they started coming to Stone Creek, and ever since then, it's kind of been that weird, comfortable Christianity gap of I come to church, but I haven't necessarily said yes to the person of Jesus. And so for the last 10 years, I've been praying and praying and praying. And man, praise God that earlier this year in January, my dad agreed to read the Bible with me, which is awesome. And he agreed to read the Bible in 90 days, which is crazy. And he read the whole thing and he gave his life to Jesus. And this past July, I got to baptize my dad, which was amazing. And what I would love to do is take a moment to read you the story that he read right before he got baptized. And again, because I think a lot of your stories are similar in what could Jesus do if you let him do what he did in my dad's life. Try to make it through this without crying. Here we go. I was baptized as an infant, this is my dad's word, in the Catholic faith. This was chosen for me by my parents. They loved me very much and wanted me to walk the right path in life and raise me with faith in my life. We attended church every Sunday as a family, suit and tie required. Anyone else ever been there, experienced that? We have jeans, praise God. So, I attended religious instruction classes, and Christ the Lord has always been in my life. As I grew into manhood, I attended church less and less, and for a while lost my way. You might say I only had one foot in the water. Later in life, one of the things important to me and my wife, Karen, was finding a church for our family. We didn't want Sean, that's me if you're wondering, raised in the Catholic Church, as we felt there were too many man-made rules and wanted to find a church that was rooted in teaching of Christ and the Bible. We tried multiple churches, and when we found Stone Creek Church, we knew we had found a home for our family. Our son thrived and grew in his faith at Stone Creek. He has chosen a life as a pastor. His faith is very strong, and he's impacting many lives, including mine. Thanks, Dad. Appreciate it. As a parent, we raise our children, give them the wisdom they need to live a good life. Now our son is an adult and is teaching his father me. Through his example and love, he has helped to strengthen my faith, my involvement in the church, and now getting baptized and accepting Christ as my Savior as an adult. In the Bible, my dad said, the Apostle Peter taught, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word in that moment were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And then my dad says, following Paul's conversion, Ananias said to him, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin in Acts 22:16. He finished by saying, I'm getting baptized today as my decision as an adult, not my parents as a child. Today, I'm stepping off the sidelines and declaring Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior through baptism. This is my personal journey for me now as I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can we just celebrate him? Yeah.
And maybe this morning you're like my dad was. If you're really honest with your life, maybe you have one foot in the water. And this morning God is saying, hey, it's time to jump in both feet. See, here's the water. What's preventing me from being baptized? Maybe you're like my dad was. Maybe you've been running after the American dream and you've been running after the things of the world and you've kind of left your faith on the back burner. And you know Jesus, but you've never let anyone else know that you know Jesus. See, here's the water. What's preventing me from being baptized? Maybe you're like my dad was. You've been playing faith from the sidelines. Maybe you've been running after things that aren't Jesus. Maybe you've been waiting on full obedience to step in because you're scared of what people would think. Maybe you're like my dad was. Maybe you've been relying on your parents' faith and your parents' decision as they baptized you as a baby, and that's kind of been where you stopped when it came to baptism. While that's a great act of faith for your parents, Scripture is so clear that we become disciples and then we decide to get baptized. It's our decision, but you've never made that decision for you. See, here's the water. What's preventing you from being baptized? If I'd be honest, my dad had all the excuses in the world to not get baptized, okay? We talked about it for 10 years, okay? So I sat in his kitchen with him. We sat in the car, on planes, everywhere you could imagine, every mode of transportation. My dad and I had a conversation about baptism, and every single time he was like, hey, you know, I've done that. I've been there. This is not my time. This is not for me. And that worked for him for 10 years until he was met with something that answered every excuse and every question, that if he wanted to follow Jesus, this was the next step. He read the Bible. See, the Bible is so clear. We follow Jesus, and then we get baptized. And all throughout Scripture, there's this symbolism of water that's shown that's amazing. So I want to just walk you through some of it, what my dad read that led him to this decision to get baptized. In Genesis 1:1-2, the first verses of all of Scripture, it says this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over what? The face of the waters. So in this moment, water symbolizes new creation, but also water becomes a picture of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Go to the next book of the Bible, Exodus. In Exodus, we see Noah's ark. Maybe you've heard that story. Maybe you were taught that story in Sunday school, which is, I always think, is a very weird story to teach in Sunday school, considering how many people died. But like, listen, you know, teach their own, I guess. But Noah, God sees that the world is evil and broken, and he's like, man, there's no coming back. So he sends a flood, and it wipes out the earth, and Noah survives to continue on the line of God. And so we see in this moment, water represents the purification of sins. It's a new start. It's a new beginning. It's starting fresh. And we see later in the book of Exodus, this guy named Moses. Maybe you've heard of Moses. And Moses was sent by God to be a savior for the people of Israel in this moment. See, Israel was kept in captivity by the Egyptians. And Moses was sent to free them in the name of the Father. And maybe you've heard that story. But when he was a baby, what happened with Moses is he was placed in a basket because of law at the time. And he was sent down the river. And what that symbolizes is actually the coming of Jesus, because Jesus would one day come and he would save all of us, all of the broken world that were stuck in the captivity of sin, and he would die on the cross so that we could be set free from that. And Jesus, what does he do on his time on earth? One of the miracles he performs, he walks on water. See, water points to the coming Savior. It's all throughout the Old Testament. If we had time, I'd go through all the examples, but we don't. So we get to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we begin to see water continuously be this step of obedience. See, we're a Jesus-centered church, and we believe in what Jesus' life looked like. And so when we look to it, it's because we believe, hey, what Jesus did, what Jesus said is the way I want my life to be shown and lived and done. We believe that we follow after the ways of Jesus, the things of Jesus, the words of Jesus. We just believe in the power of the person of Jesus, and Jesus is all throughout the Bible. But do you know what else is all throughout the Bible as we get into the New Testament? Baptism. It's all throughout the Bible. I want to be clear, though, on this. Baptism, it doesn't save you. Jesus does. Faith in him does. But baptism, what it is it's showing that you are all in to be fully obedient to Jesus and say, hey, I'm in. And I want the world to know, no shame in my game. I want everyone to know that I follow Jesus. As we get to the New Testament, there's this guy named John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, there's this picture of what he says that I love that I want to look at in Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist says this. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming, Jesus, is mightier than I am. He whose sandal I'm not even worthy to carry, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. See, we're baptized in water because it symbolizes what's been done within us, that the Holy Spirit has filled us as followers of Jesus. And Jesus, he was perfect. And he didn't sin, right? He's a sinless being. And so why would he get baptized? There's no reason. He didn't go from death to life. He is life, right? Like, why did he decide to get baptized? Well, we see his baptism happen. I think it'll answer some questions. Matthew 3:13 says, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, but John tried to talk him out of it. He's like, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. Like, why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God wants. The reason we get baptized, it should be done because we need to carry out the Great Commission, what God requires. And so John, knowing that, agreed to baptize him. And after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. What we see in this moment is that baptism affirms our identity as children of God. And it's a great joy. Hey, look at me. I want for you to know you are a great joy to your Father. He loves you. He sees you. And he wants to just affirm you through the gift of baptism. In baptism, we're serious about it because we see thousands of people in the book of Acts get baptized and the early church explodes. See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? We're serious about baptism because of life change. We're serious about baptism because Jesus is and he commands us to be. I want to close by re-looking at that scripture in Isaiah that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. Because the same truth that Philip showed him there is the same truth for us today. In Isaiah 53, verses 5-8, it says this. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and this is talking about Jesus. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of all of us. Jesus was oppressed. Jesus was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb who was led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shears is silent, he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. As for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. Hey, Jesus took the cross and he died a death that he didn't deserve so that you and I could walk in life through faith that we don't deserve. And Jesus took the cross thinking of moments like these, knowing that, hey, you might feel like you're too broken, you're too far gone, that sin's consumed too much of your life. See, here's the water. What prevents me from being baptized if I've said yes to the person of How do you be saved? Maybe you haven't stepped into faith yet. What does that look like? What needs to happen? Romans 10:9 is really clear. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And this is what we see, the symbolism of that is what we see in baptism. Now we see there's water and someone goes under the water. And when they go under, what it's symbolizing is they have died to their old life, that their sin is no longer their king, that their brokenness no longer determines everything because Jesus has made them new. And so they're dying to their old life, just like Jesus died on the cross. But luckily for us, Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose. He defeated the grave forever, defeated death forever. And so we rise too. And we walk, come out of the water, symbolizing that we are risen to new life through faith in the person of Jesus. We are not better, we are new. The old is gone. The death can stay in the grave, and we walk in life through the person of Jesus. So why get baptized today? Why not wait? Because the Great Commission. Let's look at it one more time. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We follow Jesus, we get baptized, and we learn to walk with him. Maybe you're here. It's okay to take a step back and say, hey, I need to tell the world that I've done this, that I'm ready to follow Jesus. In our first service, we had a guy who's been on our Connect team for as long as I can remember, didn't even know he had never been baptized, and he came up and got baptized. We had dads who have been trying to lead their family for a long time, but maybe have been complacent in their faith, and their kids maybe followed Jesus, but they haven't fully committed, and they got baptized in the name of Jesus. We've had people who are on the edge saying, I just gotta wait for the right moment. My whole family's gotta be there. I gotta have the right day, and I gotta make sure that we have a celebration. And they realized, hey, the water's here. What prevents me from being baptized? And they got baptized. See, here's the water. What prevents me from being baptized? So what's gonna happen in these next few moments is we're gonna have a moment for you to say yes, for you to get baptized today. I don't want to over-emotionalize this moment. I just want to say that we've looked at Scripture, and it's really clear that as we follow Jesus, baptism is just a next step for us. And it's to tell the world that we follow Jesus. And as I've been preaching, I know that there's some people in this room that your palms are a little sweaty right now. Your heart's beating a little bit faster than it normally does, and you're going, oh my gosh, he's talking about me. I've been thinking about this for a while, but is now the right time? See, here's the water. What prevents me from being baptized? So here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna pray for you, because I believe this is a step of obedience and faith, and it takes boldness. So then what's gonna happen is we're gonna go back into worship, and as we stand for worship, you're gonna stand, and you're gonna go to the back of the room, and we're gonna have a team ready to meet you and greet you. And hey, listen, we've thought of everything, okay? We got clothes and underwear and toiletries and makeup stuff that I don't know anything about, and hair blow dryers and all the girl things. We got them, okay? We prepared for everything. The only thing we couldn't prepare for is your yes. That's on you. And all you got to do is say, hey, you know what? I'm in. Stand up, walk to the back of the room, and we'll take it from there. See, here's the water. Prevents you from being baptized. We've already seen 14 people say yes today, and I believe that God has brought you here today